In the last year or so, my wife has begun keeping houseplants. And as an avid indoorsman and a city boy at heart, growing plants successfully will always be something of an arcane, magical art to me. I'm told plants just need to be given the right nutrients in their soil, the right amount of sunlight, the right amount of water, and they'll grow. This makes logical sense, and I'm sure it's true, but I still think there's an element of chance to plant keeping. For example, Elaine planted two identical bushes in the same plot of soil right in front of our house, not more than a few feet apart, and one grew while the other withered and died. Who knows? Unfortunately for me, reading the Bible, despite my lack of a green thumb, means I can't get away from talk about plants and crops and their growth or lack thereof. And today, our gospel lesson is one of the best-known passages that deals with plants, the parable of the sower. And it's a familiar parable. A farmer goes to sow his seed. Different seeds fall on different types of ground, and the condition of that ground dictates the fate of that seed. To recap, the first group of seeds falls on the path, left exposed. The seeds are trampled on and eaten by birds, and they never even begin to sprout. They were never even really planted. They just sat on top of the ground, completely open to their environment. The second group falls on the rocky soil. This rocky ground has enough soil for the seeds to sprout, but these newly sprung plants are beaten down by the heat of the sun, wither away, and die. There was not enough in the soil to support the plant once it began to grow. The third group falls into thorny soil. Everything the plants need is here in this soil, but it's also everything the thorns need, and they grow up and eventually choke out those plants. And then the fourth group of seeds, falling into good soil, bears immense proportions of fruit. Jesus' disciples ask him what this parable is about. And he tells them what it's about, but first he gives two general principles about his speaking in parables before he gives that explanation. Jesus says that he speaks in parables so that not everyone will understand him. Seeing, they might not see. Hearing, they might not understand. Rather than speaking everything plainly, he, Jesus, hides his meaning in parables so that not all of his hearers will grasp his full meaning because of what he says is the other reason for parables. Not everyone will understand, but his people will. Speaking to his disciples, he says, "To you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." His meaning is not hidden from the world in general because it's a secret that he's wishing to hoard, but because it's a treasure that he reveals to his people. The disciples are told what his meaning is because they have been entrusted with the mysteries of God's kingdom. And the fact that Jesus' explanation of the parable is recorded for us to read and hear in the gospel means that we have also been given to know these mysteries. So, this morning, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus tells us, the seed is the word of God. And the four areas of soil that the seed is sown are four conditions of the human heart. So this parable, the mystery that is being revealed to us, is what happens when these four types of human hearts encounter the Word of God. And Jesus himself is the Word of God, as St. John tells us in the beginning of his gospel. And the Word is sown in our hearts when we encounter Jesus. And this happens in three main ways. The Word of God is read. The Word of God is preached, and the Word of God is made tangible to us at the altar in Holy Communion. We hear the Word of God read in the congregation. We hear it preached on and proclaimed, its meaning proclaimed in our worship services, and we hear the words from the minister, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for thee, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for thee. when we come together, God's covenant community, and we worship the Lord, we are exposed to the seed of the Word of God in multiple modes, and that Word is sown in our hearts. To return to the parable, Jesus tells us the seed snatched up from the path is the Word of God snatched away by the devil before it can take root, before the person hearing it believes. The rocky ground is the heart that sees faith spring up with joy, perhaps enthusiasm, but fall away later when facing temptations. Thorny ground is the faithful person whose faith is ultimately choked out by the riches and the pleasures of this life. And the good ground is the person who receives the word and bears good fruit. Jesus describes these soils, again, to describe different ways that people can receive him. The conditions of our life are not always within our control. Maybe there's thorns, maybe there's rocks, maybe the place we're in when the word is sown is exposed to the elements, so to speak. But while those conditions are not in our control, our response is in our control. Do we give in to those temptations? Do we pursue those worldly pleasures around us? Or do we strive to keep the word of God with patience? This is not to say, of course, that we cause God's word to bear fruit in our lives. The fruitfulness of God's word comes from the working of the Holy Spirit within us. At the same time, the activity of God within us does not mean that we become merely passive observers. In God's providence, he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world to walk before him in the fruit of good works. He is the agent of growth, and we are called to work alongside him as his co-laborers, bearing his image and taking dominion in his world in order to bring to fruition the will that he has sown for this world. So, we should ask, what does it look like to be good, fruitful soil, to respond to the seed of the Word of God in our hearts with a good and an honest heart? St. Paul is perhaps the chief example of what does it look like for someone to be that good, fruitful soil, bear fruit from the Word of God sown in his heart. But Paul, in a few different points in the New Testament, including our epistle lesson this morning, gives us a picture of his life that raises a further question. Let's listen again to what he describes his life as. I also dare to boast of whatever anyone else dares to boast of. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. But what does this service to Christ look like for Paul? Far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death, 5 times receiving the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes minus 1, 3 times beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day and I was adrift at sea, frequent journeys, danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger from the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. That's enough danger for every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all of this, the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who's weak? And I'm not weak. Jesus tells us the parable of the sower that the rocky ground, the thorny ground, do not bear fruit. How then does Paul bear such fruit in the midst of this kind of life? Why is he not choked out by temptations to turn aside and abandon this journey, this path of suffering? Why does he not wither in the face of all of these cares in difficulties. What we see in Paul's life, the fruit that he bears despite his circumstances, is the application of Jesus' parable of the sower. The seed of the word of God does not grow because my circumstances are tranquil and unchallenging. Jesus tells us that the good soil is those who, with an honest and good heart, keep the word with much patience. Another way to translate that is endurance. And you don't need patience and endurance when things are easy. God gives the growth when the seed that is planted is nourished, and that nourishment comes from keeping the word with patience. Paul's circumstances provide anything but good conditions for spiritual growth, at least from a human perspective. The reason Paul's life is full of the fruit of the word of God is because despite those conditions, or in the midst of those conditions, he chose to keep the word. Paul is an example of how we can ensure that the word of God planted within our hearts bears fruit. In some ways, it is straightforward and easy. We give the seed what it needs, and God will cause it to grow and bear fruit. The way we give that seed what it needs is to keep the word. Keep the word of God. How is it that we keep the word of God? We hear every Sunday, including this morning, the words that Jesus says as an answer to this question. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, all the precepts, all the instructions for us to keep. Elsewhere, Paul gives us a description of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the life that is good soil. A life of love is a life that nourishes the seed of God's word. All that we are, all that we do, ought to be characterized by love. When we love God with all that we are, we keep his commandments. When we love our neighbors as ourselves, we treat them with patience, with kindness. We put their well-being before our own. We extend forgiveness when they wrong us. We seek to offer grace before we try to get even. When your husband leaves the trash can full overnight instead of taking it out, show love by choosing not to criticize him for it. When the trash can is full, even if it's 10:30 and it's cold outside, husbands, show love by taking it out right away. Don't leave it. Children, listen to and obey your parents the first time. Parents, when they don't listen to you, lower your voice, hold back before you bring the hammer down. We here at All Saints are really good at showing love when someone's in need. Things like surgeries, big sicknesses, perhaps taking on two new foster kids, for example. As a community, we do this. We're really good at it, and that's something to commend. That's good soil. Let's build on that. Let's continue to walk in that strength that we as a community have. Instead of waiting for Elaine to send us an email with the new meal train, let's seek out our neighbors, those that sit around us here in the chairs, those that we know live near us. Seek them out, in those of us who are neighbors in the parish, even if we don't live next to each other. Ask what other people need, and then show them love by fulfilling those needs. Today, as we continue to prepare for these few weeks for the season of Lent, we're reminded that if we hold fast to the word of God, meaning if we respond to the world around us with love, God will cause fruit to grow within us. The word of God bears fruit that transforms us, and it transforms the world around us. When we keep the word by choosing to love God and love neighbor, we become the kind of people that see that fruit that Jesus is talking about. We see it in action. No matter the circumstances you're facing this morning, the thorns, the rocky ground, respond with love. Be good soil that receives the seed of God's word with love. Love for the Lord our God and love for our neighbors. God will cause his fruit to grow.